What up, what up, what up? Back again for another FTN Fantasy Show. We are week 16 ready. We are here to get you locked in for your lineup decisions. Matt Okada along for the ride, man. How has it been for you? What is your playoff status right now in some leagues?
Well, I only was playing in one playoff week last week because the other four playoffs I made, I had a bye. Ooh! And I lost. I lost in that 1 week, though. So far, I'm 0-1 in playoff games played. Also, this is a crazy bit of lore, but that's a Dynasty League, but it's an Empire Dynasty League. It's all Star Wars themed. And if one team wins the league 2 years in a row, the Death Star explodes and you start the whole Dynasty League over again.
That is freaking awesome. I need the team I lost to.
Is the reigning champ. So it was my responsibility to bring them down so the league doesn't explode. And I failed. You. So they have a chance to blow up the league.
Everybody hates you, Okada. Everybody with good players hates you right now. Yeah. I freaking love that. Even though I've never seen Star Wars, that sounds freaking cool, man. That sounds amazing.
What?
Wait, what? I've been attacked for the last 2 weeks because I have not seen Star Wars from you,
as Okada, you should be.
From Marcus Grant, from DeMarco Farr, former Rams defensive lineman. Like, I have never seen it. Up into my teens, I thought Star Wars, Star Trek kind of overlapped. Like, that's probably crazy. One of the biggest sins. But, you know, I'm going to make it an agenda to get it done this summer. But, Okada, week 16, man, what is the need to know? Like, what is the absolute need to know? This is like some of the new grounds for some fantasy managers that never made it this far in the playoffs. So what is the need to know for week 16?
Yeah, so I've got three and a bonus because we like the bonuses. I'll give you the bonus up front and we'll make it quick. It's pretty simple. The Chargers backfield is an even split. And for anyone who was hoping that Omarion Hampton would come back and take over and be the true RB1 like he was earlier in the year, it's just not going to happen because the way Kimani Vidal played in Hampton's absence, he's earned himself a job. And it's not just a job, it's a half the backfield job. Since he came back these last 2 weeks and they've been playing together, Vidal, 88 snaps, 28 touches. Hampton, 45 snaps, 31 touches. So he's still getting more touches when he's on the field, but that gap in snaps is just ending up keeping them both pretty much in the same area of fantasy points. And it's working for them, so I don't see them changing it. You have to just play both as like high-end RB3, low-end RB2s instead of having Hampton as a true RB1 like we were hoping for.
That is freaking awesome to hear because a lot of folks like me who still have Kimani Vidal rostered are putting him in as a flex. And like situations like this, we need to pay attention to what the coaching staff has been telling us since August. It's a two-man backfield. Greg Roman has said he wants to have this backfield split. You see why they signed Najee Harris and then drafted Amarion Hampton. This has always been a set piece. And to be clear, Amarion Hampton in the beginning of the season didn't really take over the job. Like he kind of had to work and wiggle his way in. So I see this kind of just being the president of the Chargers backfield moving forward. So shout out to the folks who kept handcuffed a Kimani Vidal, and he may be useful this week against Dallas. So I do like that little bonus up front. What else you got this week?
Yeah, I agree. Vidal can be streamed this week against Dallas. I like that call. All right. The number one on the list, and this is a very important one, so that's why it's up here at number one. Streamers can be league winners in the fantasy playoffs, and we need to be aware of this and willing to do it. I think a lot of times this time of year, it's sort of similar to the first like few weeks of the year when we have the start your studs mentality and we're unwilling to play anybody else because we want to know what happened. We drafted these guys high, and so we're going to give it a few weeks to figure it out. It's a little bit of the reverse of that now, but it is this, we want to start the players that got us here kind of thing.
Yeah.
And if we've had guys that have been good for most of the year, we trust them and we want to play them. It's not always the best move. Sometimes finding the right streamers can be the best move. And you don't have to look back far. You can look to last week when the highest scorer at tight end, Kyle Pitts, and the highest scorer at quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, who were both, I think, over 40 points in PPR.
Yeah.
We're both streamers. And so were Kirk Cousins, who scored 27 points. JJ McCarthy scored almost 24 points. Like, And then you had guys like Blake Corum and Adonai Mitchell who contributed off of waiver wires.
Wow.
So exactly. If you picked up these guys off waiver wires and played them, you're feeling good. For this week, these are the names I think everybody should know and be willing to, if they're not already picked up, pick them up. If they are picked up by you, consider starting them. Colby Parkinson.
Ha, I love that one.
I know you're on board.
I love that one.
Oh my goodness, am I excited to play Colby Parkinson today. Oh, this is going to come. Oh, this will come out before? Will it come out before?
Maybe. But listen, I'll say this. Folks, we are going to be doing a bold prediction for Thursday Night Football, right? Seahawks, big. Rams. Colby Parkinson needs to be in starting lineups. Okada, I'm going to let you finish, but I will say this. If Davante Adams does not play, this is an automatic start for me. Automatic start.
100%.
Automatic.
I think we should find a way to clip this section and get it out before the rest of the pod if you don't publish the rest of the pod. Yes. If you're listening to this on Friday, hopefully you started him and he scored 3 touchdowns, as I expect him to.
Wow! That's a bold prediction right there.
Exactly. But is it even that bold, though? Because he has become a red zone weapon with Davante Adams there. If Davante Adams is gone, who has been the red zone weapon of the entire NFL, I see maybe all of those targets, a ton of them, shifting right towards Colby Parkinson. So I really like him. Also, if you need a tight end and he doesn't work for you, Darren Waller, who looked good on Monday night.
Why is he balling like this, Okada? No,
I don't know.
Let's scrap any of the other screamers. Why is Darren Waller balling like this? Seriously, after a failed rap career, which, again, I don't want to say failed because it never
that was failed.
It never started.
Unless you're John Gruden for some reason like it. Not only is this the stats, but he just looks good. Like, he is truly balling.
Yeah.
And he gets the Bengals. So.
This is Chef.
You started.
Even with Tua bench, like, I'm not hearing any of the fantasy streets noise of, like, Darren Waller is tanking now. He's trash now. I mean, it's freaking. What is the guy's name? Quinn Ears? Like, Quinn Ew? Yeah. Like, a lot of folks are sitting here not understanding that. Darren Waller, I guess, has wakened up to be this tight end one rest of the season. Because for him to go out there week in and week out, to be a red zone bully, to be a guy that can stretch the field, to be a guy that can rely on the screen game as well, it's like Waller is playing Darren Waller football because I think he's happy playing football again. Because you remember, that's why he kind of stepped away, right? I mean, New York Giants. I mean, duh, that would warrant that, you know. But Okada, let's get to number two, man. What is your number two must need to know for week 16?
Number two is a singular player this time. You know, I like to mix it up, but this is a player that every league has rostered. So if you are in one of the leagues that has him rostered, you need to know. Zay Flowers, I believe, is a sneaky week winner in the semifinals on his own. Last week, 68 yards and a touchdown. It doesn't look that great. It looks nice. It was a good fantasy finish, but it doesn't look unbelievable. It doesn't scream wide receiver one. And he hasn't really had a true wide receiver one game, at least in half PPR, since like all the way back to week one. But he's been getting a little better these last couple weeks as Lamar has gotten a little healthier, it would seem.
Yeah.
And over these last 2 weeks, he has had a 35.6% target share, Laquan. 35.6%. The reason he only had 68 yards and a touchdown last week is because Lamar Jackson only threw the ball 12 times.
Weird.
Not completed 12 passes, threw the ball 12 times. It was insane. They shut out the Bengals, so they didn't have to throw at all. Let me tell you what's not going to happen this week. The Ravens are not going to shut out the Patriots.
No.
It ain't happening. Mm-mm. They're going to have to throw. They're going to have to score. I expect this to be a very good and ideally close and ideally high scoring and ideally Patriots win game because I'm a Patriots fan. But the rest of it for fantasy, the rest of it for fantasy is going to be big for Lamar Jackson, hopefully. But even if he's not great on his own, I think Zay Flowers will take up the vast majority of the production there for the Ravens and be on his own a very strong wide receiver two or even borderline wide receiver one must start play. If you have him, I think you need to force him into lineups.
I love that. I love that one because Zay Flowers has been a guy that has been kind of just sneaky under the radar of like nobody really saying his name, nobody really talking about the production that he is able to have on the table, and especially this week in the semifinals where I want to look to my guys that I drafted as my wide receiver twos or threes or flexes or whatever the case may be of what you drafted Zay Flowers. Like this is kind of like the original Avengers group here. Okay. I want all my original studs to come up, show up, and show out. And I think that's what we're going to get out of Zay Flowers this week. So I love that call, man. What's number three? Okay. Because we got the bonus, right? But this is number three. This is top three in the list of need to know for week 16. And I'm looking at the Docker card. I got to be honest. Like, this feels like a knife in my heart. I have a lot of this guy.
Yeah. We started with the positivity so that when we brought it around to this, we could survive.
Should have ended with the bonus, man.
No. This is the most important one. It Ashton Jeanty needs to be benched.
Yeah.
Not Ashton Jeanty is struggling. Not Ashton Jeanty is an RB2 instead of an RB1. Ashton Jeanty needs to be benched.
Yes. Very much.
There was an earlier time of the year when his receiving work was kind of saving what has pretty much the entire year, almost with a couple exceptions, been a horrible stretch of rushing production in what is not entirely his fault. In fact, mostly is not his fault because he's in one of the worst offenses we've ever seen with one of the worst offensive lines we've ever seen. It's horrid. But he has now gone two straight games with single-digit receiving yards due in large part to Kenny Pickett taking over for Geno Smith because Geno's been hurt. I have not heard yet if Geno's going to start this week, but I don't think he is. It's not looking like it's trending that way. So that's very bad news because I think that kills his receiving work if Pickett is in there again. Even if he is not, though, and Geno Smith is in, I don't feel good. Jeanty has scored single-digit fantasy points in three straight games and in four of his last five. He hasn't had more than 60 rushing yards since week six, Laquan. Huh? It is horrible. Absolutely horrible. And then you take all the terrible setup for him on his own and his team on his own, and then you throw it at the wall of the Houston Texans, who have been terrifying, terrifying for running backs. One running back has topped 15 half PPR fantasy points against this team since week eight, and it was James Cook. Jeanty is not James Cook, and the Raiders are not the Buffalo Bills.
That O-line is definitely not the Buffalo Bills O-line. No. I'll tell you that.
No.
Wow. I mean, look, when you have a Raiders offense that puts up a total of 75 yards in four quarters of football, professional football at that, I don't think people are understanding, like, the Houston Texans defense is top three, not at three, elite, and way better than the Eagles defense that is middle of the pack. So if Kenny Pickett went out there and had a net yards of 29. And by the way, Brock Bowers had 28 receiving yards on six catches. This is real nasty work, folks. I agree. This needs to happen. Ashton Jeanty should not be starting for the rest of the fantasy playoffs because this could be one of those situations where he loses the week for you. This is do or die, folks. Let's not get cute. Let's not get cute. Now let's get into some burning questions for week 16, though, man. Oh,
very briefly, because you mentioned his name. This is going back up to the streamers conversation a bit. I am legitimately starting. This is not a joke. Colby Parkinson or Darren Waller over Brock Bowers this week.
Wow. Guess what? I'm going to join that bus. Yep. I'm going to be starting Brenton Strange over Brock Bowers this week. Baby. Let's ride. Oh, man. All right. Let's get into some burning questions because that was wild, man. I mean, we ended on a bad note, but let's answer some of the Fantasy Streets questions, man, because there's a lot of buzz right now on Quinshon Judkins, right? There's some situation where folks are starting Quinshon Judkins or Ashton Jeanty, Quinshon Judkins or Travis Etienne, Quinshon Judkins or RJ Harvey, or even Quinshon Judkins and Tony Pollard. These are all ranges of running backs this week that either have difficult matchups or could not be trusted. But looking at Quinshon Judkins this week against Buffalo, will you enter the trust-o-meter, my friend? Are you trusting him this week?
If the trustometer goes from 0 to 10, if we're talking the midometer for Trevor Lawrence here, Judkins gets about to the halfway mark for me this week.
Okay.
And that's because of a confluence of two clashing concepts. A lot of C's in that sentence. One is, and it's actually in my Things to Know article this week, I don't think Shedeur Sanders is good for Quinshon Judkins, or he has not been so far, at least. I know he's made the offense seem exciting, but earlier in the year, particularly with Flacco, Judkins was basically running this offense on his own, and it was producing for him. And he was like in strong borderline RB1 range. With Shedeur, it's not been that good. It's been low RB2 range at best. And it's because Shedeur's throwing the ball all over the place and they're not just hammering the Quinshon Judkins run thing. So I don't think it's bad for him to have Shedeur in, and he's going to be in for the rest of the year. But they're playing the Buffalo Bills. And the Buffalo Bills, for some reason, they've got most of their team very well sorted out, but the run defense is not. And they are unbelievably friendly for running backs. So you take what would bring me down to like borderline RB2, maybe even to RB3 range for Judkins in a middling to bad matchup, and then you throw this great matchup on top, and I think Judkins ends up being more like a mid-range RB2, very much around the names that you mentioned. I would start him over Tony Pollard because I still don't trust Tony Pollard, even though I maybe should at this point.
Join the party, bro. I've been kicking myself in the butt for the last 2 weeks talking down on Tony Pollard, and week after week, here we are. Tony Pollard to start this week against the Chiefs. I don't know. He should have been involved in the burning questions. But I want to get to another running back where this is at my desk, where I'm like, damn, do I go pick up Michael Carter? Like, is he worth the workhorse hype this week? I mean, the guy looked good last week. 18 opportunities, 4.0 yards per carry against the Houston Texans, where we know it's very hard to work in those trenches. And this is a game that was way out of hand, and they still were handing the rock to him. Now going against the Falcons defense, it seems like a softer matchup. Like, is he worth the workhorse hype right now to be in starting lineups for week 16?
I think he is. Last week he averaged 4 yards a carry, which is just, it's fine. Like, it's pretty good. But that, like you said, that was against the Texans defense. The Falcons are not the Texans defense. Almost no one is the Texans defense. So I expect him to be more efficient, but he still got 18 touches. 4 of those were catches, and he took those catches for 38 yards. And that is, in my opinion, the big part here, because he might see 15 to 18 carries again, which is really nice. He might be more efficient with those carries. He might even score a touchdown with those carries, because he is going to be the guy. But the receiving work is what really elevates him from, well, is this guy a flex or maybe a bottom end RB2 to
talk about it.
I feel good about starting him as like a mid fit in that Judkins conversation. If you ask me between Carter and Judkins, it would be hard for me to answer.
I might say, did you just enter this or that? Like, are we just breaking the segment? Like, is it Quinshon Judkins or Michael Carter for you, Okada?
I think I would legitimately take the cop-out of saying in PPR Carter and in half PPR Judkins.
That is a good cop-out, but that is actually valid, though, because when we look at Michael Carter, he's a top 12 running back in terms of yards per catch, and I look at it like, this guy's getting you 8 yards every time he gets the ball in his hand outside. Like, come on, man. Like, I kind of cannot ignore that because, again, we know Jacoby Brissett, he's going to sit back there and throw the ball 60 times, and at least 7 to 8 of those targets probably end up with Michael Carter, and he's actually going to do something with that. I like that one. That's a tough one, though. That's really a tough one. Somebody's probably eyeing this situation. Do I fit in Junkins? Do I fit in Michael Carter? We shall see. All right, next question. William Trevor Mid-Lawrence versus Denver. It's quite simple. Ooh. Last week, I had to respect my boy game. 6 touchdowns ain't nothing to look at and ignore, but this week, and maybe some humble pie on the table this week. Are you trusting him against Denver?
Yeah. I think we said something on a pod recently, Laquan. It might have been last week, maybe the week before, about clocking and evaluating the gap between defenses when you're clocking and evaluating what you want to do with a player. Yes. So when we look at Trevor Lawrence and we say 6 touchdowns,
against who?
Back on the week. The Jets.
Ah, duh. They
got nothing to play for, traded away their whole defense. Yeah. Jets. Nah. I could throw a touchdown against the Jets. But Denver, the Broncos, yeah, with Pat Surtain healthy again, playing for the number one seed. Ooh. This is a massive, massive difference in defensive matchup. Yeah. And so
there's too much tension around this game too, Okada. Like,
exactly.
There's too much of like do or die situation for the fantasy playoffs, number one seed for real life football. I mean, Trevor's coming in with momentum. There's still some like hesitation for me trusting Okada, because like I started him last week over Dak. Rightfully so, I felt the better decision was made, obviously, being that it's the Jets. But Denver, man. This is one of the situations, folks, where you have to remove anything you saw last week. Look at this week. Look at the defense that he is going to be facing. Look at the takeaways. Look at the pressures. Look at the sacks. Like, the turnovers alone is what I think is going to feed off this game to where you get negative points for fumbles and interceptions in most fantasy leagues that we play in Okada, right? So,
yeah.
I do not want to get cute this week with that. So, let's go over to New Orleans. Saints running backs, do you feel good about anybody in this backfield? Do you feel good about anybody in this matchup? Like, I hear rumbles of Alvin Kamara possibly coming back, but overall, a Saints running back in the starting lineups this week, how do you feel on a gauge of 1 to 10?
A gauge of 1 to 10 of how much I'm willing to trust a Saints running back, I'm going to say 2.
Mm.
Primarily because... Primarily because I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know that the Saints know who it's going to be. I don't think the Saints do know who it's going to be.
And that's what it is, Okada. When 100%. People ask you and they go in your DMs and they say, hey, which Saints running back do I start? This is real life stuff, folks. Our DMs are open. The FTN Fantasy, TikTok, Twitter, everything, Instagram, it's open. And when we see questions like Saints running back, who do I start? Who do I trust? Like, we can't answer that because I don't even think Kellen Moore knows who's going to get majority of the rock. And again, we have to look at this backfield. It's changed the torch many, many times. Went from Alvin Kamara, Kendrick Miller, to Devin Neal, now to Audra Estime. Like, come on. I can't get behind this, Okada.
Evan Hull is also in the conversation.
Who?
Exactly. Evan who? Is Evan. Alvin Kamara is not
from Whoville. Yet.
Exactly. I don't think he's going to play. It's like you'd have to be super desperate to roll out Audric Estime in your starting lineup in the fantasy semifinals. And you know what? Yeah. One of them very possibly will be very good for fantasy because the Jets defense, they're just specifically the run defense, abysmal. It is horrible right now.
High missed tackle rate. I mean, they're allowing a ton of production outside the tackles. Like, one of these running backs can get light on their feet and get upfield. But the problem is you have to pick the right one. You have to trust. And you're benching somebody that has probably has more opportunities on the field, more touch opportunity, more opportunities to score to get in striking distance. This is what it comes down to. Like, it's just nasty options.
You can, like, if you are playing in a 14-team league and you have two flex spots, maybe Audric Estime can sneak into one of those, depending on who else you've got, but it's so risky.
I don't feel good about that whatsoever. Now, let's go into another game that looks nasty on paper now that we lost Patrick Mahomes for the remainder of the season, possibly for week one in 2026. I know he's eager to get back, but now we're in the now. Cam Ward versus this Chiefs defense, Gardner Minshew versus this Titans defense. Is anybody worth starting in this game on either side?
Oh, yeah, yay.
Because we already talked about Tony Pollard. I mean, that's, I ain't going against Facts run defense. No way.
We talked about Tony Pollard. I said I still don't trust him. This defense is why I'm not playing Tony Pollard. And therefore, I'm not playing anyone on the Titans because what am I playing? Jamari DK? No, thank you.
Van Jefferson.
On the other side, we have seen Gardner Minshew do some things for fantasy and for pass catchers over the years. I think you can start Rashee Rice. And that's about it.
Damn. I was hoping there was another name following that. And even him in concussion protocol, I was like, we're screwed.
We're screwed. If he doesn't play, I'm not feeling great. Like somebody else in that Chiefs receiving room maybe will do something. Maybe if it was Mahomes, I would say somebody else is gonna do something. But with Minshew, I would say someone else might do something if Rice is out. But I don't know who. Worthy? Yeah. Juju.
Man.
Tyquan Thornton.
I don't know. It's Gardner Minshew, people. Like, when I try to, like, paint these pictures for some folks, I understand it's week 16, do or die. You listen to us because we're the professionals. We're the guys that are degenerates that are drafting in February, right? I'll say this. Games like this, I try to stay clear from because you're going to sit here and try to put this puzzle together with four different puzzles. Like, it's not going to make a pretty picture. It's going to be one of those things like, if I have a Xavier Worthy, if I have a Travis Kelce, if I have a Pacheco, right? What are the better or other options? Like, I'll take the chance with maybe, as nasty as it sounds, I'll probably start a Jerry Jeudy over a Juju Smith-Schuster or Xavier Worthy. I'll probably start, let's say, I'll throw one out there in a wild 14-16 team league where Tutu Atwell sneaks into my flex, right? Like, guys, we have to really look at this situation. This game is going to be disgusting. Now, last but certainly not least, I saved the last one for you, man. Being that you're the Patriots guy, you are going to have to tell the fantasy streets. Which Patriot wide receiver are you starting this week in a do or die situation against the Ravens?
None.
This is not great. This is not great, folks. He is a fan of the New England Patriots, where Drake May is signing all the checks to be a MVP candidate this season, and we do not have an answer of who to start at the wide receiver position.
In fairness, I would argue that a large part of the reason Drake May is so in the MVP conversation is because of how difficult this question is to answer. Because you look at Matthew Stafford, who's in the running, probably is the favorite right now. Well, yeah, he's got Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams. He might have one of the best duos in the league. He's got probably the best between the 20th receiver and the best red zone receiver. I'm not taking anything away from Stafford. He's been great. But
yeah,
he has weapons to the max. Drake May is doing what he's been doing with the ghost of Stephon Diggs, who's been very inconsistent. Kayshawn Booty, who catches a deep pass every three games, and that's kind of it. DeMario Douglas, Mac Hollins.
Who's their leading target share right now in the last three games, by the way, which is insane. Insane. Yeah. And the thing that pisses me off about all this is that Hunter Henry has been on the waiver wire for several weeks, right? And he's been productive in terms of yards and averaging 61 yards per game in the last couple of weeks. Like, I'm looking at this as like, As a person who has Stephon Diggs, as somebody who entertained Kayshawn Booty earlier in the season, I really can't sit here and tell anybody in their face, like, yeah, start Stephon Diggs. Like, my boy has had single-digit fantasy points in the last three games, maybe even the last four games. I could be wrong. But since he's had a kid, which was actually November 4th, those two games followed that, he gave us wide receiver one numbers. And then what happened? His freaking birthday happened, and then here we are with no production. So I cannot trust Stephon Diggs this week. And Okada, you came and tell us who to start this week, so that lets us know that we're in deep doo-doo.
I don't think you're starting anyone. I mean, if you told me I had to bet $1,000, which I'm not allowed to do because I work for the NFL, but if I had to bet $1,000 on which receiver will be the best, I honestly might go with Mac Hollins because he's looked the best, honestly, for most of the last like month or so. But there is no way in heaven, hell, or anywhere in between that I am starting Mac Hollins in the fantasy semifinals. It's not happening. And I'm not starting Hunter Henry because I don't trust him either. Like, he has had good games, but he's also had complete disappearances. Last week, he disappeared. Yeah. One catch for 18 yards. So I am starting the running backs. Trevion Henderson, yes, please.
Yes, yes.
And I'm starting Drake May because somehow he will cobble together 270 yards and two touchdowns with this group. But I just don't know who's going to score those fantasy points. on the other
end. What kind of witchcraft is this where your wide receivers are single-digit fantasy points, but yet you're here averaging 24, 25 fantasy points for a game? Like, bro, what's going on?
It's crazy.
You know what? That's insane. And I don't want to sit here and stress over this anymore because I'm not starting Stephon Diggs, and there's no way in heaven or hell, like you said, I'm starting Mac Hollins. There's no way. Nope. And Kayshawn Booney is complete boomer bust. 14, 16, even 24 leaguers. I still don't trust Kayshawn Booney. All right? That's just how I feel. So this has been a great episode, man. We've handled the burning questions, the need to know for week 16. Okada, next week is Christmas. So we got a very special episode for folks to get folks ready for the fantasy playoff championship, because a lot of folks are going to be looking at us like, hey, this is do or die. This is really do or die week, right? We got to bring home the gold, and we will be here next week to help you guys out. Okada, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. How about that Colby Parkinson game last night? Am I right?
Hey, it was fire. Three touchdowns, right?
Final thoughts, go check out the article, the 10 Things to Know article. Go check out everything at FTNFantasy.com, by the way, because there's a bunch of good stuff there. But the article will have more thoughts for you going into this week, things to know. And you need to know them because this is not the time of year to get lackadaisical with your lineup decisions. Yeah. This is the time of year you want to agonize over those decisions, do all the research you can, and make the right ones. Because if you just throw someone in your lineup because they've been in there the last 5 weeks and you lose and you're out of the fantasy playoffs because of it, you're going to regret it. So lock in.
Absolutely. Lock in. I love that as the final thought. Lock in, folks. We are near the championship week, folks. This is do or die week, week 16. Check out FTNFantasy.com. Got the promo code going on at the bottom down here. And please check out Matt Okada's Need to Know. The 10 things is not just the three that we covered and plus the bonus. There are 10 things you need to know. Check it out right now at the FTNFantasy.com. Guys, we'll see you guys next week. Peace.